Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
Wendy joining us via Skype today, and the bulk of the hour is going to be focused on travel cancellations and the chaos that has been created in the travel industry by the absolute knee-jerk reaction to the news of the new COVID variant. Those unexpected travel bans have left many passengers stranded, family reunions cancelled, people's holiday plans in an absolute mess. We're going to talk about the latest on refunds and cancellation policies. We'll talk a little bit about travel insurance and whether that's of any use in such situations. And we will talk to guests from ASATA, the Association of Travel Agents, as well as a leading insurer. Wendy, I bet your inbox is absolutely overflowing. Thank you, as always, for joining us on the show.
My pleasure, Pippa. I'm reading them. I was reading new ones as listening to the news. So, yes, you're absolutely right. And exactly what I was expecting.
Okay. Before we get to the travel, Wendy, I'm going to slide in a very short, quick question that might need some follow-up for after the show today. But Chris did email last week and we didn't get to it last week, and I promised him I would do so today. So before we talk travel, I want to share this reflection from a Capitec customer. His comment is that he is stunned that there is no direct Capitec fraud line. One cannot report fraud directly. You've got to send an email to customer care for forwarding. And the thieves and scammers have spent your cash by the time that mail gets where it's going. Chris says, I tried to reach the fraud department after your piece on ATM scammers a week or two ago. It simply cannot be done directly. Please, can Wendy investigate this and get some advice for those who are customers?
I saw that email. I didn't see it when he first sent it, unfortunately. I saw it. He just resent it now before the show, and I read it before coming on air, and I quickly sent an email to my media liaison chap at Capitec. He's normally pretty quick to respond, so I'll keep a watch on my email inbox to see if that response comes in the next hour, and in which case I will read it out. I found that quite staggering and also alarming, because Capitec has one of the highest sort of internet fraud figures, I think, with Standard yes. Bank. Those two are the highest complaints through to the Ombudsman for Banking Services. I know that. So why they wouldn't have a fraud line, I found, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And as I say, hopefully I'll have an answer to that in the coming hour while okay. we're still on air.
Chris, please stay with us. And if that answer comes through, we'll share it with you. And if it doesn't, we will follow up and give you some feedback. We'll give you feedback directly and then share it with everybody else on next week's segment if necessary. Okay, thanks. Wendy, then, look, the bulk of the show today is going to be focused on these dreadful travel stories and all of the cancellation and refund queries. Let me share a couple of them that have come in on WhatsApp already. Chris M. in Somerset West says, my son and his girlfriend were due to fly back to Cape Town for Christmas next week. Two weddings and several bookings around the Cape, not to mention seeing the family. He saved his leave all year and has been told he must use it or lose it before year end. It is all so complicated when this happens. Another one from Tundi, also in a terrible predicament. They were planning a trip to visit family in Belgium that they haven't seen in 2.5 years. Amongst them, my husband's 94-year-old grandfather, who whose health is deteriorating, and his father, who has colon and liver cancer. We're going to move the trip to February. We're hoping and praying we'll be able to travel by then. It is just so frustrating, especially because this variant is already spreading in Scotland and has been elsewhere since October, but we're the ones blocked from traveling. We can only hope things will improve soon. That's a snippet of two. There are others that are coming in that I'll share over the course of the hour, but Wendy, that really paints the picture of what so many people are facing right now.
It does. So my inbox is filling with the ones around the consumer issue of refunds, which comes underneath that initial, we can't get there, we can't see our people. And then, you know, and in this case, they wanted to postpone the trip, so the issue of refunds is not relevant. But I'm mostly getting the ones which, you know, affect people in the people's pockets, or, you know, they don't want to have a voucher, they don't want to postpone, they were going for something in particular that's passed, and you know, they just want their money back. And don't forget, with many of these vouchers, all of them, they are issued for a limited validity period. Yes, so it's supposed to be 3 years by South African law, but when you're dealing with an operator that's not based here, it becomes complicated, and often it's just a year or two. So it's very far from having the money you spent put back into your account, and that's the issue for many.
Okay, so Wendy, maybe let's start with a little bit of good news. I believe you got an inkling of something positive out of America yesterday.
I did. It was actually shared with me by Asata CEO Otto de Vries, and I must admit to some personal involvement here. I was sharing off air that, you know, I'm so distraught that my sister, who's based in the States, won't be able to join us for Christmas and New Year as planned. And he said, oh, overnight, that was night before last, the US government moved the US to level, or South Africa rather, to level four, meaning while they don't actually recommend that their citizens come to South Africa, but then they really ever do, they have said it means they can come. So for now, and that has to be underlying everything we're saying, for now it seems that Christmas plans with my sister are not cancelled.
Oh, touch wood. I hope that pans out.
Touch wood. Yeah, but other countries, you know, people, all their plans are up in the air, except for, well, the plans are up in the air. The planes are not. That's the problem.
That's the problem, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people were hoping there would be some kind of U-turn from the British in particular on that that immediate red listing that happened. It hasn't happened. Wendy, there was a lot of confusion because there was a statement from British Airways about some flights coming to South Africa, and people thought that meant things were changing, but that wasn't the case.
That wasn't the case. That was about the UK government looking out for its own citizens who are here stranded in South Africa. So these are repatriation flights. They're not for tourism purposes. So if you don't have a UK passport and you're not someone resident of the UK that needs to get back, you will not get on those flights. So it's really not cause for celebration in terms of those people sitting with British Airways tickets as tourists, as South African tourists wanting, planning to be there in the coming weeks.
Okay. The bottom line, though, Wendy, is that the travel industry in particular is in a world of pain. Many families are in a lot of pain and anxiety contemplating what their Christmas will be like, but the industry is hurting and it's mad as hell.
Absolutely. We've heard from so many of them, and the passion and pain in their voice is heartbreaking. You know, and they're angry, furious at the knee-jerk reaction to our scientists disclosing the identification of the Omicron coronavirus variant. We all know the story by now. It sparked a wave of travel bans to South Africa. And when the UK does it, the other big markets, then all the rest follow suits. And hence, poor likes of FlySafair laid on a plan to start a route to Mauritius in a couple of weeks. I think the 11th of December, everybody booked, and now the cancellations, they're not quite sure what's happening. So it's just a big mess, Pippa. It's an awful story. Just when you think things, you know, you've gone through the worst of it, it just feels like deja vu of March, April last year, except the awful part being that it's also unnecessary.
Absolutely. Wendy, I know just before you tell us about the complaints you've been looking at, I just want to share some stats that came in just before. Apologies, we have a musical interlude that wasn't planned for there. Just before we came to air, there was a statement released by the provincial government. They've done a bit of a snap survey of the local tourism industry, Wendy, and from 635 responses that they'd emailed predominantly in the Cape Town and Garden Route and Winelands areas, 77% of the respondents have already had cancellations for December bookings. Some of them, 40% of them, saying that more than half of their December bookings have been cancelled. Another 60% have had cancellations for January, 30% beyond that into February already, and it's catastrophic. Now, that's the people making the bookings. You're hearing from the people who are the owners of those bookings, who were hoping to travel overseas or who were hoping to have loved ones come here.
Yes, I'd be interested to know, those statistics you just read out, are they referring to a combination of international and domestic, I wonder, or... Because that would be interesting to know, because you've got two camps, of course, Pippa, here when it comes to cancellations. You've got those who through the bans cannot travel either into or out of this country. And then you've got domestic tourism, where someone had planned to travel for Christmas either to Cape Town or to Durban or from here to Gauteng in particular, you can imagine that's not particularly appealing, and they're cancelling. So the one, and they're different sort of rules apply or laws apply. So the one is an involuntary cancellation, it's totally beyond your control, and the other one is you are, even, you know, you could say that the fear is justified, but you are voluntarily cancelling a booking that could go ahead legally.
Okay.
So they're two different camps, which complicates issues a little bit.
Okay, so well, we have a guest us who's going to help hopefully sort of clarify the different positions, Wendy.
Yes, hopefully. And he's someone that is at the very centre of what he's calling a bloodbath.
Otto de Vries is the CEO of the Association of Southern African Travel Agents, ASATA, to give them their acronym. Otto, thank you for joining us. I know that your phone and email box must also be exploding at the moment, so we appreciate your making time for us to talk about this. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on the call.
Bloodbath, I think, is a very fair term. I mean, what's it been like trying to support your travel agents members at this time when so much is in the air except the planes we want to be?
Yeah. Look, it's been absolutely devastating. There's just no other way to frame this. We just concluded in the month of November a number of webinars under the theme recovery, travel recovery. There was excitement. My members were telling me how they've never been this busy in the last year and a half. Forward bookings were looking great. There was all the excitement and enthusiasm, especially those working in the leisure sector, around what was going to be one of the better seasons that we've had in a while. Hmm. And then we woke up to that news on Friday morning, and all of their efforts and energy has now been scrambling to try and assist and support those bookings, and just to see how we can move this process forward. But I think it's important that we understand that within the context of where we are right now, they're prioritizing the immediate bookings that are being affected. So you can imagine the moving target. People that are booked to travel, let's say in a few weeks' time, from a priority point of view, are being assessed very differently to those that are being affected immediately. Mm. One, in an attempt to manage the situation within the context of what we know and what isn't, what isn't possible. And secondly, obviously, just from a resource point of view, and in the hope that, you know, those bookings that are being made for a couple of weeks' time, there might still be a small opportunity that they are able to be executed.
I mean, there's just so many unknowns in that description, Otto. Your heart really goes out not only to the passengers affected, but to the agents who are the ones trying to deal with the fallout. Wendy, let me hand over to you to ask some questions.
Yes. Otto, what do you say to those who are saying, well, surely the industry should have seen this coming? I know you have a very strong response to that.
Well, look, I mean, how are we supposed to see this coming? At the end of the day, what we did know and what had been communicated, everybody who consciously made decisions to book travel in December, we've known for months that the possibility of a fourth wave was coming. What none of us can, of course, predict is whether or not that fourth wave is going to be affected by a new variant. Now, this isn't the first new variant, but this seems to be a variant of significant interest. So, you know, this is why we have seen the knee-jerk reaction and the response that we had in terms of the UK and then following other markets, important sort of outbound markets for South Africa, including, sadly, Mauritius and Seychelles. Mm. So, you know, fellow African destinations that are shutting us out as well. And those are critical destinations for December. So, what we can only work with what we know. And, you know, I think every person who is making a conscious decision to book to travel at this time can work with that information and only with that information. The fact of the matter is that where we find ourselves right now, these December bookings, those suppliers have all already been paid. To assume that the travel agent is holding that money is an incorrect assertion. And those tour operators who have facilitated a lot of these package bookings have paid appropriate commissions to those travel agents for delivering the sale and services. So it is an extremely difficult situation for us to manage because whilst the passenger may have booked through a travel agent Ultimately, they are not the ones providing the service. They are the facilitators of those services. And those service providers have their own terms and conditions, many of them in other countries, which have different legislations and different consumer laws to our own. And that's where the real balancing act and the challenge comes in for us, is to try and support and help our customers to the best of our ability within the constraints that we have.
Okay, well, that was, you sort of touched on my next question, which is one that keeps coming my way as a consumer journalist, is you know, the thorny issue of refunds. Everybody's sort of seeing things from their perspective. You can understand if you've laid out all this money for a holiday, maybe you're thinking, I want to rather have that money to spoil my family, you know, in my own province kind of thing, or neighboring one. And you can't, because your big save, everything you saved up for, is now tangled up in this awful situation. And as you say, the complexity of it, these we saw from hard lockdown of last year, it took months and months, up to 9 months, for refunds from the airlines to come through, for example. So that's it. I mean, what a mess. What would you say to a consumer who's sitting in this situation? I suppose with somebody who has a booking for closer to Christmas, you'd say, hold tight, you may still fly. But for those with in the booking, say, in the next week, and they're unable to get hold of their travel agents in many cases, I'll just read this out quickly to you, Otto. Came in just before we went on air from Daphne. Dear Wendy and Pippa, please help me. I was advised a few hours before I would have flown on the 26th of November that my British Airways flight was cancelled due to the new variant. I'm now trying to establish that my ticket will be valid when the ban is lifted by the various government agencies. I can't get hold via phone with either British Airways or Travelstart, who I bought the ticket from, and I can't get confirmation from any of them. What can I do? What would you say to the Daphnes out there who are sitting in that particular situation, Otto, and don't know where to turn?
I'm going to ask Otto to pause and think about his response while we take the news headlines. A bloodbath of cancellation queries is the description that's been used, and I think fairly so. Before the break, Wendy shared that email from Daphne, and I'm pretty sure Daphne is the same Daphne who left a voice note with us earlier in the show, sounding incredibly frustrated. She's tried calling, she's tried emailing, she's tried talking to the bots on the WhatsApp pages and the internet pages, and nobody is getting back to her from, in her case, it was British Airways and Travelstart. Otto, what's your advice to somebody who's in that kind of position?
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, it is an incredibly complex and frustrating scenario. You know, a lot of these businesses have had to, as a result of the past 20 months, retrench a lot of staff. And the uptake of new bookings that has happened in the last 6 to 8 weeks has been incredibly difficult for them to manage, too. So you can imagine now that all of those 6 to 8 weeks have culminated into 1 or 2 days of expectations from a lot of customers asking questions around how does this affect, you know, one, my spend, and two, my ability to travel. Now, having said that, you know, there is, in my mind, an important lesson to be learnt in all of this, in that, you know, the customer needs to be able to have somebody that they can contact and reach. This is why Asata has always had a very clear approach around how we guide and inform our members around how they need to deal with consumers and consumer expectations. Sadly, Travelstart is not one of our members, but I know that they would be as committed as any other travel agent in terms of trying to help customers to the best of their ability. I can tell you that it's no different with the engagement with airlines. A very good friend of mine and his family out there from the UK, they were supposed to fly back to the UK. So this is people that need to get back home. And they were supposed to have left yesterday. And once they announced that the flights were reopening from the 29th of November, they spent over 6 hours on hold trying to get hold of somebody from British Airways, only to finally be able to get a booking for the 5th of December. So, you know, these are people that are trying to get back home. And spare a thought, because once they get there, they're going to have to spend another 30,000 rand on quarantining in a hotel. And it was no fault of theirs. So, you know, it is a very complex and fluid situation. What I would suggest to Daphne is that if we were to use previous experience as a benchmark we know that this is no fault of hers or British Airways' willingness to want to transport the customer. This is out of everybody's control. So I have no doubt in my mind that the supplier of this service will either try and support the customer in getting a refund if they're not able to travel, whenever we are able to travel again, right? Or alternatively, to try to rebook it or reschedule that with a voucher. So whilst I know it's frustrating for Daphne now in terms of not being able to reach anybody, I would suggest that history has shown us that the British Airways policy around this has been to either support a refund, to rebook or issue a voucher, and the validity of that voucher, as it has been in the past, was valid for 3 years. So I guess they're scrambling to try to get out new data. Whilst we were on that break, I was trying to do a bit of quick research, but it doesn't appear as if BA has specifically identified what has happened in the last couple of days and how they're going to respond to that. But history teaches us that would be probably the process they'd follow.
Okay, thank you for that, Otto.
Okay.
Wendy?
I do know from personal experience, my parents were booked to fly to the UK last May, and of course that didn't happen. We were in hard lockdown, and they had a terrible time trying to get hold of British Airways. Eventually, my cousin in the UK, who they were going to visit, made the call from there, put my mother on speaker, and between the two of them and a British Airways chap in the UK, it was sorted out, and my mother got a refund. My parents got their refund. So, I mean, there were ways, but it's as Otto says, just too many people trying to do the same thing at the same time. One question that's just come in during the break that I think a lot of people are going to be asking, Otto, and I don't know if this is something that you can give us any insight on. From Liddy, will the government extend, whichever government it is, visas as flights have been cancelled and a friend cannot get back home? What a conundrum if you are stranded. One really expensive alternative flight, only really expensive alternative flights potentially, but not confirmed yet. The visa issue, that's a big one because it costs South Africans so much. Do you think, how will that work?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I wish that I had an answer, but I don't. But what I will do is I've made a note
of it,
and I will certainly try to find out. Look, we're going to be engaging and collaborating more and more with the High Commission and with other key critical stakeholders in this regard as we try to navigate how and what we need to do to get off this red list sooner rather than later. We know that the government, the UK government, reviews these decisions on a three-weekly basis. So the date that's been set to review this is the 17th of December. Our goal is to ensure that we can do as much as we can between now and then to give them any information, data, scientific and data-driven information that will allow British politicians to reconsider their current position and the decision that they've made. Look, every day we're getting increasing evidence about what we've been saying from the start, which is to say, just because our laboratories were smart enough to do the mapping of this variant and to share that with the rest of the world does not make it that this is our variant. We heard news about cases that were discovered in Scotland, and those predated the discovery and the announcement that was made by our scientists last week, Thursday. And none of those individuals were in any way, shape, or form related to or attached or connected or in contact with anyone that had traveled to Southern Africa. And the same came out of the Netherlands yesterday, where cases of the new variant had been identified, and those predated the announcement of South Africa by 10 days. There is now even the possibility that this variant has been around not just for weeks, but possibly months. So, increasingly there is no sound scientific data or evidence to continue to extend this travel ban. One could argue that the announcement that came out of the Netherlands, why are the British not immediately banning all travel out of the Netherlands to the UK?
Very good question.
Everyone wants to know. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'd appreciate you getting off air. I'll get back hold of you, Otto, if I can, because I'd imagine that you're really in demand at the moment. But I will need to get some answers on the visa question, because that has got great implications for South Africans who are holding visas that may expire by the time the UK and other countries decide to relook at that ban.
Okay, Otto, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Otto de Vries, the CEO at the Association of Southern African Travel Agents, ASATA. Nigeria has also announced it's found Omicron from samples dating back to October, just to drive home the point that it was not a South African, South African identified, not South African in origin. That is the most frustrating thing about all of this, is that it is all so completely unnecessary in its sort of the knee-jerk reaction that's taken place. Otto, thank you again for your time. And I know it's frustrating for everybody, because for many of these questions, Wendy, the answers just don't exist just yet.
No, but you can understand the desperation of people who are asking those questions. So it's a really tragic, devastating situation, yeah. Pippa.
Now, one thing I want to touch on next, which is on a related subject, is to do with travel insurance. And Wendy, again, this takes us back to cases we've been looking at for the last year, 18 months and more. A lot of people thought, I'll be safe if I take out additional travel insurance in case things go wrong, only to find that they don't have all the cover they thought they did.
Exactly. So you could understand people thinking that they were covered for travel cancellations that, you know, happened, that are foisted on them, not that they chose. But as many people discovered with the first bans, as you said, if the travel operator offered you vouchers as compensation, having refused a refund, which most of them did, whether or not you intended to use them or could use them, your travel insurance claim was rejected for that reason. So the rationale being, well, you're going to get compensated. Vouchers are a form of compensation. You are going to travel later. But, you know, it's not that straightforward. In Anita Ranchon's case, the travel agency she booked her tickets with issued her with a credit that came with a booking code. But she told me this week, I've had no luck entering this code, and the agents seem to have all but disappeared. I also heard from Cheryl Cotton, who booked Air Namibia tickets at the beginning of last year for flights which were cancelled due to hard lockdown. She said, we agreed to move our booking to later in the year, but as we were still unable to travel because of COVID, we decided to cancel completely and book again once everything was back to normal. And she adds a ha-ha, given that she wrote that this week. The agent asked if we would like a refund from the airline or a voucher. We chose a refund, but we were given vouchers. Anyway, all in all, they did get vouchers, but having requested a refund. But subsequently, Air Namibia, the airline they'd booked with, went into liquidation. But still, Bright, the insurer concerned, is standing by their clause that there's no claim if the policyholder is able to, in the policy's wording, recover their money by other legal means. And that includes being a creditor in a liquidation process. But as I said to Bright, it's common knowledge that passengers come at the very bottom of the list of creditors when airlines go into liquidation, which means that they stand to get just a few cents in the rand, and that's if they're lucky. So that's hardly, you know, recourse. You take out insurance to be put into the position that you would have been had the awful event not happened. So very frustrating.
Did you ask Bright for comment on that case, Wendy?
I did, Pippa. The comment was Bright's position on the specific circumstances in which travel insurance responds, which is expressly noted in the relevant policy wordings, remains unchanged. Bright continues to prioritize the application of due diligence and care, evaluating each claim individually. But they say they are limited to the policy terms. Bright has settled more than 3,200 COVID-19 related travel claims, paying customers in excess of 100 million rand. I'm thinking that's not going to be airline compensation. It's probably for accommodation bookings and other things. We've seen with airlines, tricky.
Okay, so after we take a very short break, and we'll come back carrying on exactly that point, that the risks here are well beyond just the possibility that flights might be cancelled. There are all kinds of knock-on effects, and we'll talk to another player in the insurance industry after this very short break. Don't go away.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Email Wendy on consumer@nola.co.za.
I think that's what Gail might need to do, Wendy. Gail's just WhatsApp to say that in July 2020, Qatar Airlines cancelled my London trip due to COVID. I got an email from them saying validity would be extended to 2 years, thus expiry date of July 2022. I'm presently in London and tried to book back to SA using my voucher number and was told it wasn't valid. I can't get an answer from Qatar. Oh. I now want a cash refund. Can you help in any way?
Certainly I would welcome an email, as you said. I can't do anything on air, but I'm grateful for that email, because it proves what I've just been saying, and that is, you know, issuing a voucher shouldn't automatically cancel your travel insurance claim, because it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get that compensation. And so you should have a valid claim. You paid for something you didn't get through no fault of your own. So yes, very good example that. Please do that part. Please pass it on to me and I will take it up.
Okay, so Gail, you can email Wendy directly on consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R, or you can send it to me on pippah@capetalk.co.za and I will pass it on to her. And Gail is currently in the UK as we speak, trying to get home. Please do send that through and we'll do our best to assist. Okay, so let's bring in somebody from the insurance industry, because Wendy, as you said, it's not only flight cancellations that have to be considered here. There are all kinds of knock-on expenses we're talking about here too.
Absolutely, and I think these are some of the things that the other insurer would have covered, you know, in that amount that they said they've paid out through COVID claims. So it's being trapped in an unexpected lockdown in the country you are traveling to, or even being diagnosed with COVID-19 in a foreign country without the support of your family. And you need to have read and understood your policy very, very carefully before you leave, because typically, and here's something that I certainly didn't realize, typically travel insurance policies don't cover medical expenses linked to COVID while you're traveling. So that's an important one to bear in mind.
Really important, because I think a lot of people would be operating under the mistaken assumption that they would. Let's bring in somebody who knows the ins and outs of the business better than we do. Liso Mkuni is a spokesperson for Old Mutual Insure. And Liso, thank you so much for your time. Welcome.
Afternoon, Pippa. Afternoon, Wendy. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think most people who took out travel insurance would assume they'd be covered for COVID-related medical costs if they got sick while they were on holiday. So that's a good one to know about. Liso, why would something like that be excluded?
Well, insurance, remember, is to cover any unforeseen sort of events. So catching COVID, nobody actually expects to catch COVID while they're on holiday. But if you are visiting a country that does have active cases of COVID, then some insurers might not consider that catching COVID in that country to be an unforeseen event. Oh. That's mainly the reason why some insurers might exclude that cover in particular.
So important to know. Okay. Wendy?
I mean, I'm just thinking, so staying in your own country. Anyway, let's move on. I was going to say you should at any time in any part of the world expect to get COVID. But anyway, I'm not sure that argument sits well with me. But Liso, we've had talking about travel insurance not covering cancelled flights if the airline issues vouchers. Old Mutual has explained this by saying the traveler can fly again if the airline resumes flights in future. In other words, there's not been a financial loss to the policyholder. Travel insurance only protects against a financial loss having taken place. So we've already highlighted certain instances where there is a loss. The code you were given doesn't work for rebooking, and the agency is now missing in action. I have heard from many people, especially the elderly, who were not planning to travel again. They were flying to celebrate a 60th anniversary, for example. We had one such case, or to a family event. And certainly, you know, they would, by the time they were ready to travel again, they would be too old to qualify for travel insurance. And that was going to be their last trip, in other words. So that doesn't seem entirely fair. Are there ever exceptions made for such cases where it can be proved that the insured did in fact suffer a very real direct loss as a result of a cancellation not of their making?
Absolutely. So there are exceptions made, and I think the first case that you mentioned, where somebody has been issued with a refund and they just can't actually claim it back. In that case, if you do go back to your insurer and claim and say, "Well, I was issued with a refund, but and therefore for that time period, you could have considered me not to have experienced the financial loss." But subsequent to that, I haven't been able to claim back that refund. I haven't been able to book another flight on whatever airlines they're flying on or so on. Then some insurers will make an allowance for that and say, well, there definitely has been a financial loss occurred, and we will pay you back that difference that you lost financially.
Okay.
In terms of the second case, there is some... Definitely some ex gratia basis where, exactly like the scenario that you explained, the actual trip they were going on was of sentimental value or importance, and having a refund or being given another voucher for another plane ticket much later on is not really going to compensate the person for that one trip. In that case, there are some exceptions that some insurers do make, the better insurers of the insurance industry.
Okay, good. Good to know.
That is good to know. So it's worth asking at the very least. Lisa, maybe it would be worth just running through typically what a travel insurance policy would cover and wouldn't cover. It might be that many of our listeners haven't ever bothered to take out additional travel insurance before and have done so recently thinking that they would be covered against all possible outcomes and not realizing that it was limited. Do you want to give us some of the core points of what would be covered and what wouldn't?
Absolutely. So most travel insurance policies would generally cover the cost of cancelled plane tickets. So if you've actually incurred a financial loss, as we've said, so that extends to any baggage that might have been lost. If you are trapped in a country that you are visiting because they instituted a lockdown and you can't get back home, they would cover the additional accommodation costs that you might incur by having to stay in a country longer than expected. Some insurers actually offer repatriation services. So if you have a heart attack, for example, while overseas and you need to come back to the country,
let me tell you something about WIM.
Then you are covered for that as well. But the important thing here is to read through your travel insurance policy, because no two insurance policies are exactly the same, even if they both are for travel insurance. So make sure you know what you're covered for and what you're not covered for before you go on holiday, just to avoid any nasty surprises if anything unfortunate happens.
Lizom Gorney, thank you so much for that update. Speaking there on behalf of Old Mutual Insure. And Wendy, I believe Travel Start have responded, so I'm going to leave it with Lizom, and we've literally got 2 minutes left. Do you want to tell us what Travel Start have said in response to Daphne's question? With big thanks to Lizom Gorney of Old Mutual Insure.
Only that, sorry, I was just texted by someone on his behalf to say he's happy to respond and I've got his cell phone number. So unless we could get him on the line just quickly.
Oh, I'm afraid time's not going to allow for that. No, sorry, my mistake. I understood that there was a written statement that had come through. We're happy to collect that off air, and then we can relay it. I guess we'll have to relay it on the show tomorrow if they would like to respond, or better yet, give us some feedback that we can send directly to Daphne, who is the person needing the help, and then I can report back tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Let's do it that way.
I'll deal with that. I'll phone him now as soon as we go off air.
Okay, thanks very much. Wendy, as always, thank you for your assistance on behalf of our listeners. We'll chat again next week.
Will do. Thanks, Pippa.